Finding Christ in Christmas. We're talking about this series last week. We enjoyed the Christmas program, and Stacy and the kids talked about the different ornaments and how they can help us see Christ and remind us of Christ in Christmas. A couple weeks or a week before that, we talked about the prophecy in the Old Testament that the Bible led us up to, looking forward to the Messiah. Christ, which means Messiah, looking forward to the Christ who would come and fulfill the promises that God made all the way back to Abraham and his offspring, and to David and his offspring, that God would fulfill all of his promises. If you have your Bibles, open them to John chapter 1 this morning. John chapter 1. When your children are first born, I've gone through two times now. When they're first born, the first one is just nerve-wracking. The second one was, we thought was a little more planned, and then it wasn't as planned as we wanted it to be. But your hope is just that they're healthy. Your hope is that they're just, they come out and I remember sitting in both times, and you're waiting to hear the noise. The wah. Oh, you know, okay. You hear that cry, and you know they're doing all right. And I remember kind of the tension that you feel then, until that moment when you hear that noise. As they grow up and get older, you begin to see things, and Ellie's going to be 3 this week. And so you begin to see these things, and you wonder, I wonder what she's going to do with that. Last night, I was here at the church for a little while, and I got home, and Ellie runs up, and I'm making soup. She had all these containers lined up, and they were all apparently soup. She loves pretending to make things, soup, other foods. She likes to have little tea parties. What's going to happen with that? She loves playing doctor. What's she going to do with that? As you saw this morning, she loves dancing. What's going to come of that? She loves singing, and I think it was last week, she just came up here and grabbed a microphone and just started talking into it. Doesn't mind being the focus of attention. Until she realizes she's the focus of attention, and then she gets shy. What's going to come of things? I went to see Connor play ball this week. Connor has a pretty good team. Wonder what's going to come of Connor's team. I said that after the game. I wonder what his team's going to look like next year. What his team's going to look like the next year. How they change, how they grow, how they develop. I wonder what's going to happen there. We have these hopes and dreams, and I have to imagine that Mary and Joseph had the same hopes and dreams. The angel had announced that she would give birth. But I'm sure there was still that tension that they felt. I just hope he's all right. I'm sure even though they knew he was going to be the Messiah, there was still those hopes as he grew up. Joseph was a carpenter, and we believe Jesus took on some of those skills as well, having a dad that was a carpenter. Did Joseph think, man, I hope he becomes a carpenter like I was, or I hope he does this? But yet always in the back of their minds was the angel's message that he was going to be the Messiah. Wow, what a lot of pressure. I mean, it wasn't just, you're having a baby. It wasn't like Abraham and Sarah where they were in their old age and God came and told them, you're going to have a child, and your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. It wasn't like that. You're going to have a baby, and he's going to have children, and you're going to have lots of descendants. No, this baby was different. This baby would be the Messiah. They believed to save the Israelite nation, but we find out as we read through the Gospels that he came for much more than that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they each have their own take on the birth narrative, the birth story of how Jesus came. Matthew gives us kind of the picture beforehand of the angels coming. Mark skips the birth narrative entirely. Jesus was an adult. He gets baptized and goes off into the wilderness and is tempted. Luke gives us everything. Luke, being a very detail-oriented person, he writes out and he does the research and fact checks and does all this stuff and finds out what exactly happened. They traveled and there was no room for them and there wasn't a place for her to lay him, and so he got laid in a manger and there were shepherds nearby, and we'll talk about that more next week. John, the Gospel of John, is very unique. John is like any of the other Gospels. He takes us not looking at the specific birth narrative, but he takes us back before creation even. Let's read the first part of our passage this morning. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. John says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Who is this Word? Scan down a little bit farther, verse 29. "The next day, he," being John the Baptist, John the Baptist, we learned about this morning, John that was born from Elizabeth, Jesus' cousin. "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. John starts his entire gospel with three words: "In the beginning." Where else do we find those three words? Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Do you think John is reminding them of Genesis chapter 1? Of course he is. We're going to look at several verses here, and we're just going to look at the first three words. Verse 3, "And God said." Verse 6, "And God said." Verse 9, "And God said." Verse 11, "And God said." You noticing a pattern here? Verse 14, "And God said." Verse 20, "And God said." Verse 24, "And God said." Verse 29, verse 26, "Then God said." Verse 29, "And God said." Verse 31, "God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day." We find this multiple times in Genesis chapter 1. After Moses writes Genesis, he writes, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, and God said, and God said, then God said." The word that God spoke and God said in the beginning was Jesus in action. "And God said," God spoke, and Jesus was there. John tells us, back to your passage in John, John tells us, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." God created out of nothing. There was nothing. We do sometimes okay at creating out of something. Sometimes. Not always. Depending on how you're trained. But God created out of nothing. And John tells us Jesus was the Word who was there and was a part in all of creation. John tells us that Jesus, the Word, was with God. So Jesus and God are two separate. But the Word was God. So Jesus is God. And John, in his first five verses, is giving us so much theology, so much about God that they were struggling with in the days that he wrote it. Because it was a question of whether Jesus was God or whether Jesus wasn't God. And John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That Jesus has a distinct personality from God. Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, they have distinct personalities from one another. They have distinct tasks. As you read through the Bible, you begin to understand that they don't all do the same thing. But they are all one. They're all one. They're all of the same essence. They're all God. John here is emphasizing the timelessness of who Jesus is. And I want us to think about that this morning as Jesus being born as a baby. That this baby was there from before the beginning. He was the Word. And the profoundness of him lowering himself to be made into part of a creation that he created. That he made the wood that was part of the tree that was made into a manger. He was there and caused the straw to happen that he was laid on. The fibers that were part of the blanket that he was woven up in and wrapped in. He designed that. But he was brought as a baby. Mary had him as just a small little baby. Babies are pretty helpless. When they're first born, they can't do much of anything on their own. They have to be fed and cleaned and burped and put down to sleep and fed again and burped and cleaned and put down to and repeat the cycle. They're pretty helpless, and that was Jesus, the one who created the world. The one whose hands had formed not just the earth, but all of the galaxies, now reached up and grabbed onto Mary's finger. Jesus came as a baby. He was the Word, even as the small infant. The Word came to proclaim who Jesus, who God was through Jesus. Jesus, as the Word, came to show us, came to make a way for us to have a relationship back with God. John tells us that Jesus was there before the beginning of time. Let's read on in our text. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. John tells us that Jesus, the Word, is the true light. Jesus is the true light. And what is John saying there in one quick word, in one quick term, saying Jesus is the light? He's saying Jesus is God. He's repeating that again. Jesus is the Word who is God. Jesus is the light who is God. Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Jesus is the light. The Lord, Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Jesus' name, that's kind of the, another translation of Jesus' name is Joshua. Joshua, which means God brings salvation. The Lord is my light and salvation. Jesus is the light. He came to shine the way to God. He came so that we could see God clearly, so that we could focus on Him. I don't know about you, but if you've ever gone out at night, it's not so much anymore, but it used to be you had to turn on your lights. And sometimes you'd forget. Maybe it'd just be barely dusk or something, and you'd start driving, and all of a sudden you're like, oh man, my lights are off. Or somebody would flash their lights, and you'd be like, what's going on? What did I do? Oh, I left my lights off. It's not very long before you realize, oh, I need light to see. I need light to show me the path, the road in front of me, so that I don't go off the road, so that I don't hit something I'm not supposed to, so that I can avoid dangers. God sent Jesus as the light to illuminate our path to God. It's like a focused beam, a spotlight that Jesus came to put on God so that we could see who God was, so we could know the way that we can find our way to Jesus, the way that we can find our way to God. That was who Jesus came to be. He came as the light. Both the Word and the light point us towards God. The Word, which came and spoke. The Gospels record many words that Jesus said. His words point us towards knowing more about God. Jesus' actions point us towards more knowing more about Him. Jesus did more than just shining a light, though. He did more of telling a story about God, kind of like the Old Testament prophets did. They would give warnings and tell about who God was. Jesus didn't just do that, though. He provided much, much more. Verses 12, 13 in our text. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus caused adoption by God to be possible. This little baby who was born in human flesh, God's Son, born of Mary, through His life, through His death, through His resurrection, caused adoption of us to be God's children. As people, we fail quite a bit. As people, we make mistakes. As people, we do things that are wrong. Back up just one verse. Jesus, the Word, came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. His people that had known about the prophecy for hundreds of years were blinded. They didn't get it. They didn't receive Him, and so because of that, God allows all those who are Jewish or not Jewish to come to Him through salvation in Jesus Christ. The problem was we were all a bunch of misbehaving misfits, stuck in all the things that we had done wrong. And we couldn't have a relationship with God because of the fact that He is holy and perfect, and He couldn't adopt us as children because we were sinful and stained. But the Bible tells us that Jesus came because He was born of a virgin, Mary, because he lived a perfect, sinless life, and then he was killed. He took the penalty, the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin, the things that we've done wrong, that the wages, the payment for that is death. The only way for there to be a payment is for there to be death. But Jesus came and he died so that we could have that payment taken off of us if we believe in him and have faith in him and what he has done. I have several friends that have chosen to adopt, or they're in foster to adopt, where they get foster kids and they can choose to adopt them later on. And it's a lot of time that they spend. It's a lot of energy that they put forward to try to adopt. And sometimes there's large amounts of money, too, that have to be gone back and forth in order to adopt these children. There's a payment that has to be made. And the same thing for us, in order to be adopted, there had to be a payment that was made. And Jesus came and made that payment on our behalf. John looks forward, even again in the first verses of his gospel, he looks forward and sees what Jesus did for us. But in light of being a baby born, he still was God coming to do what we could not do on our own. John later in his gospel says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16, many of you have memorized that. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, a baby, to be born on this earth. The Creator to come down and be part of the creation. That whoever believe in what he did, his name, and the actions that he did on our behalf, would be saved and have everlasting life. Galatians chapter 3, Paul says it this way, "In Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. By faith in what Jesus has done, you're now a child of God." Our final verse this morning, verse 14. "And the Word that was from the beginning, and the Word that was with God, and the Word that was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus displayed God's glory as grace and truth. Jesus displayed God's glory as grace and truth. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That word "dwelt" there had a very important meaning behind it. The tabernacle that they would move with them. God's glory would come and dwell in that tabernacle with the nation of Israel as they came and they wandered through the desert. They would move this tabernacle, and God gave them designs for it. It is where God's glory could come and dwell without wiping out all of humanity. Because if God's glory came and people saw it, they would die, because there needed to be a payment. God's glory could dwell here. God came and dwelt among the camp. They would camp all around this tabernacle. The Word became flesh and dwelt among them. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among them. This was God's glory in Jesus. This was God's glory come to the earth, and he came as grace and truth. Grace which is God's favor and mercy that he offers to us. God's favor and mercy that he offers to us. That is God's grace. something that we can't do on our own. God's truth is revealed that all of what God says will happen. The prophecies that Jesus came and fulfilled through his time on the earth, the promises that God made to Abraham and to David and all the others throughout the Old Testament, that he is fulfilling those in Jesus Christ. That he fulfilled all of those in Jesus Christ. And the promises that he's made to his people, both the Jewish people and those who are Christians, we know he is a truthful God. We know that his dealings are always right with man because of who he is. And so that is his grace, and his truth was come down and dwelled among us. There's a lot of bad things in the world. You can turn on your TV, you can scroll through your Facebook feed, you can look at your Twitter account, you can open up a newspaper, however you get your media. You can see there's a lot of bad things. You turn on the news and it's this person killed this person, or this happened, or there was a bombing here, or there was a guy driving a vehicle here and this happened. And there's all sorts of stuff. The problem is we want to solve that on our own. We want to solve that through human means. We say, well, if only we could have been there and talked to them, or if only they would have seeked help somewhere else, if only. But the problem is the solution for those issues is not humanity. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As representatives of Jesus, we're told to go out and spread his message. Tell the message of this baby who came, who is God's son, who was born, who was the word and the light, and he paid the penalty for my sin. He paid the penalty for your sin, but we have to believe in that. Jesus came to reveal God's grace and truth so that we could become his children through faith in him, through belief in what he has done. Have you done that? Do you have faith in what Jesus has done for you? Do you believe in what God did for you? If so, you're part of the family of God. If not, I'd encourage you to come talk to me after the service, or talk to one of our other leaders here. They'd love to have a conversation with you about how to do that, how to take that next step. If you've done that, and some of you have done that for many years, you've believed in Jesus and you know that he's your Savior, how can I speak the word and show his light, being his representative, to someone who doesn't know him? How do I do that? How do I tell someone about Jesus? This time of year, it's easy. It's Christmas. Finding Christ in Christmas. He's right there. I find myself even in stores sometimes recently, like I'll go to walk out and it'll be almost like an afterthought. Oh, Merry Christmas! It's right there. Spreading the gospel is right there. Especially this time of year, Easter, you can tell people about why you believe what you believe and who Jesus is, and they're more receptive at this time of year. So go out and spread the word of what Jesus came and did. Go out and spread the light, shining, putting that spotlight on God and who he is and what he's done for us. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for just your amazing love for us, that was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf so that we could become your children, so that we could have a relationship with you that wasn't possible through any work or anything that we could do, but you did it all for us. And then you offer it to us as a free gift. How amazing that salvation is. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but because of your light, I see. We thank you for that, and we thank you that Jesus came and was born. The Bible tells he humbled himself and he lowered himself as a baby to be born on this earth so that we could have that opportunity. God, I pray that we make every effort we can with what you have given to us so that we can share your love with others. So we can share what you've done and the opportunity that you've given to us so that they too can become your children. God, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your light that led those of us who believe to you. And God, I pray you continue to shine that light in this community so that others may believe also. God, I just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.